Grace, peace, and mercy be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
A few weeks ago, I mentioned that the world simply is not fair. And we get a little more of that in this morning's readings, because when we look at them closely, we see that the wrong people are getting the right things. For example, take the prophet Isaiah. He's writing to the nation of Judah, and the Jewish people of the day considered themselves to be God's favored people. And because of this most favored nation status, any good gifts that God had to give would surely come to them and them alone. The rest of the nations were simply foreigners, and they were not worthy of anything good from the Lord. And yet, Isaiah says that any of these foreigners that bind themselves to the Lord, he himself will bring them to his holy mountain. Well, that really flew in the face of the commonly held belief of the Jews. You see, according to their tradition, when the Messianic age came in, it would be the Gentiles that served the Jews. They were not the ones to enjoy the same status as the Jews, and that simply could not be. In fact, this same concept endured, and it even strengthened, during the intertestamental time, which means many of the Jews of Jesus' day held the same belief. And we get a glimpse of this in Jesus' interaction with the woman. This woman in Matthew's gospel, a Canaanite, a Gentile, sought out Jesus and pleads with him for help, for her daughter had been possessed by a demon. And she knows that Jesus is the only one that can deal with this. However, the disciples wanted Jesus to get rid of her. They were embarrassed by all her cries for help. Even Jesus gets in on the action here and says that he came for the Jews, not the Gentiles. But in the end, he relents, commends the woman's faith, and heals the daughter. In both cases, what was reserved for God's chosen people has been given away to others. Now, if you think about it, really, the Jewish nation at the time had everything. They had the patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They had God's holy law. They even had the temple and access to the Lord through the priests. So considering all this, are we seeing God reject the nation, rejecting his chosen people? Well, this morning, Paul, in his letter to the Romans, says, by no means. See, Paul is writing to the church in Rome, which undoubtedly had some Jews in it, and there seems to be an exodus of Jews from that church, and Paul wants to make the point that God has not forgotten his chosen people. They remain his chosen people by the oath that God made to Abraham. And that oath stands even though they may reject Jesus and his gospel message, leading many of them to be lost eternally. And should the nation reject the gospel message, it will go somewhere else. And that somewhere is the Gentiles. So then Paul, a Jew among Jew, as he calls himself, becomes a missionary to the Gentile people, thus showing that God's message of Jesus is for everyone. So Paul sets out with this gospel message as Jesus, the promised Messiah, the one God sent through Israel to be the Savior to all the nations. He proclaims that because of the death of Jesus on the cross, God has mercy to forgive all sin. And he preached that message to people just like you and me. Those of us who by nature and the law have no claim on being God's people. And because of Paul, we can read about many, many people in the book of Acts, after hearing the word of the Lord and by the power of the Holy Spirit, believed and received God's mercy. And Paul applies a rather strange strategy here. For he believed that the greater number of Gentiles that believed in Jesus, the Jews would also see this and reject less and believe more. It's sort of the same way that you deal with your kids sometimes. When our kids were little and we were having dinner and one of them just didn't want to have that particular thing, they didn't have to eat, but they had to sit there. And of course, the rest of us enjoying our dinner so well, that outside one usually came around and joined in with us. And Paul employs this very same psychology here. In order for the Jewish people to see the Gentiles loving God's mercy, and he does it so that they would want to come back to the Lord through Jesus. He calls it to arouse my people to envy, ultimately knowing that he would save a few. So then, as a result then of the Jewish disobedience, the gospel goes to the Gentile people, who Paul says were at one time disobedient. That is, these non-believers who were not necessarily rejecting God, but they certainly weren't looking for God either. And we see that this gospel goes out to that very world because of being rejected by the Jews. But the Gentiles, not being God's chosen people, bringing nothing with them, no inherent worth, no merit of their own, there was only one other reason why they should receive the gospel. And that is God's boundless mercy. He sends his Spirit to them through the world, enabling them to repent of sins, turn in faith to the righteousness that Jesus won for them, thus receiving God's mercy and the forgiveness of sins. And what comes next is perhaps one of the most Pauline things ever. You see, for Paul, the result is that the Jews are being led to reconsider their foolish disobedience that is causing them to lose God's blessings. And such an ongoing process in the heart and the mind of the Jewish nation is exactly what God intended all along. Paul says all of this is happening by design, so that they, the Jews, too, may receive mercy as the result of God's mercy to you, the Gentiles. Did you catch that? You see, according to Paul, it was God's plan all along for the Jewish people to reject Jesus. And you say, that makes no sense at all, Pastor, and I agree. But the Gentiles were disobedient because they rejected God. See, the Jews had the law, and they were using the law for salvation, which we know leads sinful people to eternal death. It is not until they reject Jesus do they become disobedient, in Paul's terms. And it is in this disobedience that allows God to act upon them with mercy. Paul says God has bound all over to disobedience so that he may have mercy on them all. God will work his mercy for the people despite their rejection. But that is not to say that everyone will be saved in some sort of universalistic way. No, Paul is saying that God's good and gracious intent, his mercy, extends to all despite their disobedience. For even Paul admits that only a remnant of Jews will believe. How fortunate for us that our gracious Lord has worked his mercy on us. For his Spirit has created faith in our hearts, faith that believes that Jesus worked a great work on our behalf, forgiving our sins and bringing us to eternal life. Which takes us right back to the beginning. The prophet Isaiah says, God will act mercy upon the Gentiles and bring them to his mountain. Jesus acts mercy upon the woman because of her faith. And God did not reject his people, but rather acted mercy upon them and us Gentiles, so that we may be saved. And having been saved in and through Jesus, we, Jews and Gentiles alike, together are the new Israel. Thus, the promise made to Abraham is a promise made to you in Jesus, as his chosen people by faith. So has God rejected his people? No way. He has acted mercy upon us and brought us to himself for eternity. Amen.